Outlier gentleman says it's right, Risa.
Oh, the outlier gentleman. Oh, yes, hello.
We're going to sex.
I'm a bad bitch!
I need to get drunk. This is fucking horseshit.
Goodbye to the people who love me.
Something about you, girl.
If you're not suffering, you're not learning.
That's it, bro.
Suffering means everything.
Do me a favor. Take a knife, stab yourself in it. I'm just kidding.
World's End Syndrome. I'm gonna try and keep this as brief as possible without getting as long-winded. But
I love when you're long-winded.
That's what she said. Anyway, so last time I tried to do it, I felt like I didn't do it enough justice. So I've rethought it, and I kind of want to make this more like an interactive thing for you, so you could like understand, be a little bit more involved with it. So I'm not just speaking at you. So, World's End Syndrome, how it starts is you are this character that has had this tragedy befall him. His sister had just died. He wants to make a fresh start. He has an uncle that tells him, you know, I have this mansion out in this little remote place in Japan, this little prefecture. Why don't you go out there? You can go to school. Your cousin lives out there. You can stay with her. Wake up. You're on this train. And you're talking to this reporter. And it's really candid. You know, you're just kind of talking about life. And like, why she's going. Why you're going. That kind of thing. So the game starts out. And you are just, it's like fish out of water. Typical kind of intro thing. You meet the comic relief of the game. He's kind of a fucking nerd. He's a perv. He's just looking for tail at a fucking high school. You know, he's typical hormonal teenage boy.
Fucking nerds.
Fucking nerds. You meet the teacher that's, you know, waifu teacher.
Of course.
And she's like, hey, you're looking for something to do. You're new. Okay. I have this club. I need people in this club. Okay. You go back to the mansion. You meet your cousin. She's very standoffish. It's a very distant relationship kind of thing. Go to school the next day. Start this club. And basically they do, it's like a mystery investigation. It's like Mystery Inc. kind of shit.
Okay.
How they form this club is that this teacher wrote a book about these demons that come out every 100 years in this village.
Okay.
They come out, they go on like this killing spree, and then they disappear. We're coming up on the 100 years, obviously. I mean, it's a video game, so it's not gonna be like, this is the fucking 80th year. We still got 20 years to go. That's the place of the fucking 20 years.
Today's Tuesday. Demon Day is actually Thursday. Fuck.
So you meet like this cast of characters, and you're talking about like this book she wrote about these demons. So you come to find out like one of the people in the club, their family is very austere, they're very high class, they're very well known. They're known as the family that drove this demon family out, supposedly. Another girl you meet, she's kind of aloof. They're supposedly the ones that were the, you know, the
conjurer of the demons?
Basically. Okay. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't think of the word.
Give me some demons of this motherfucker. Give me
the
baby.
Fucking demons. You meet another girl that's kind of, she's nerdy and just kind of like the bookwormy, like,
nerds.
I'm just kind of here to hang out because I need friends kind of thing. And then this reporter ends up joining in too because she's like, I'm actually here to interview you for the book. why don't I just sit in on this? Because it's good subject matter. Whatever you guys talk about, I can use in, you know, my article.
Sounds like we got a fucking ensemble.
Yeah, so it's an ensemble. So, like I said, to not make this as long-winded as I fucking possibly can.
Give me the wind.
But basically, how this runs through is it's very similar to... This is where, like, they borrowed from Chunsoft. So, how they run this initially is... It's kind of clever, because they're like, we're going to let this run through, like, a Doki Doki, where it's like a romance novel.
Okay.
Go ahead and pick somebody. So, you got me being apparently fucking capitalist, like, fucking... I'm like, rich girl, hey, let me talk you up. So, you go through, and it's through the month of August. So, it's like, you're not actually, like, in school. You just go to school for, like, the fucking club. It's, like, every Tuesday and Friday, I think, every week.
Okay.
And then they give you, like, free time events. Like, the girl that you're talking to says, yeah, meet me in the afternoon on Thursday at this place. Oh. And then you go, and it does the fucking event times, and it walks you through, like, these little, like...
This is like some Tokimeki Memorial shit.
Yeah, okay. Kind of, yeah. Okay. So, you go through, and as long as you hit, like, all these event times, it will set you on these character paths.
Hmm.
So, by the end of the character path, you get to the Summer End Carnival, is what they call it. So, by the Summer End Carnival, you get to hang out with whatever girl, and it ends with your end of your romantic path. So, the like, for example, the rich girl, you end with her, and, like, you guys are out in a field, and you're watching the fireworks, and she's like, oh, it's so amazing being out with you, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, this dude in a fucking rabbit costume shows up and tries to fucking murk both of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good ending.
Well, and all of a sudden, you tell... He wings you. You tell her to run. And she's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And she, like, fucking dips. All of a sudden, she comes back, and she's in, like, a fucking kimono with a fucking... I forget what the long staff with the two fucking swords at the end of it are.
Jesus, okay.
And she's fucking spinning that bitch, and she fucking runs this dude away. She's like... I forgot to tell you, I'm skilled in this. I'm like...
I'm trained in Naginata. Like, okay.
And you know what? I think that's actually what it was. It was the fucking Naginata.
Oh, cool.
But...
Thanks, Bushido Blade.
But, like, all of a sudden, you know, it goes to, like, you're in the hospital, and she's like, should we tell people we're dating? And then it ends. So, all of a sudden, it goes to, like, an end, and it goes... And after that... People started dying. The end.
Bad end. Didn't get to have sex in the cornfield. Shit.
But, like, the more you go through it, the more little chunks start coming out.
Okay.
The last ending, you have to wait to date the weird lady at the end.
My favorite.
Yeah.
Already.
Well, actually, hold on. Before you get to the rich lady... There's actually a bad end you have to go through.
Okay.
It doesn't let you go through any of the romantic paths. You can tell you don't go through any of the romantic paths when it says, like, this person stopped coming to school, this person disappeared, this person, this person, this person, and it talks about every single person, like, bad shit happened to. One night, and then you go home to the mansion, you come in, the reporter's dead on your floor. You go upstairs, your cousin's dead.
What the fuck?
You go to your front door, you hear a knock on the door, the weird chick's looking through your peephole, and she goes, open the door.
No.
All of a sudden, you turn around, red. Game over.
What the fuck? Is this like some Purge shit?
Okay.
You made a face. Okay.
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 So... You can only date the weird chick that's, like, open the door at the end of the movie. Or end of the game. I said movie. Fucking talking like people that talk about Hideo Kojima games. Where it's like, Hideo Kojima's movie? I'm so witty! Anyway.
45 hours of cutscenes? Yes.
Well, speaking of cutscenes, what's cool about it is, at the beginning of every run at World's End Syndrome, it shows, like, this girl going through water. And by the time you get to Miu, who's the last girl you date, it goes through, like, this full cutscene that you've been seeing pieced together the entire game up until this point.
That's my shit.
To get to their storyline. It's her and her brother.
Give me my veins.
Yeah.
Stick it in my veins.
So, going through that, you end up finding out that these two were actually the ones that were hunting the demons. The other family just took fucking credit for it.
Oh, fuck.
These two, anytime that there's been a suspected demon, they have run like a little coffee shop. There's like a fucking little torture chamber that they fucking have under this coffee shop that they fucking murk people in. Okay. Yeah. So like you're running through the one game, and the reporter's like, you need to check out that fucking basement because there's some suspect shit. And because you have a relationship with the sister, you're like, yeah, I'm just going to check in the basement. What's up down here? And all of a sudden, the brother catches you, and he's like, you better fucking die. And all of a sudden, he goes to kill you, and the sister comes up, and she's like, no, you can't fucking kill him. Don't kill him. He's like, he knows too much kind of shit.
I was just looking for oat milk.
Basically. But, like, there's a whole wrinkle there. Come to find out, at the end of the game, spoilers, everybody, spoilers. So, at the end of the game, the affluent family, the rich girl's brother, killed the teacher at the beginning of the game, the waifu teacher, killed her.
Okay.
She was actually manifested demon come back. And every time at the end of the game where it's like, all of a sudden people started dying, she manifests into the demon at the end of the summer and fucking kills everybody for revenge because nobody helped.
Damn.
The key was, what they find out at the end of the game is that killing the demons doesn't do anything. They just keep coming back. What you gotta do is you gotta make them forgive whoever did whatever they did. Which I think is fucking crazy. That's like some weird ghost shit right there. But
listen, you gotta forgive them for murdering you. And they're like,
it's bitch. It's like a forgive yourself, forgive me kind of thing.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to explain without, like, you actually playing the game and, like, getting the story.
You got, like, a Charlie Day, like, pie chart. Like, you gotta see this shit right here.
It's like a letting go kind of thing. I think that's more of what I mean. Like a letting go kind of thing.
Okay.
So, whatever, you get to the end of the game and, like, you have the aha moment with the teacher. And same situation. The brother, except for the crazy man, the dude that's been killing everybody, takes your girlfriend hostage, the fucking crazy chick, the one that's like, open the door, stabs her. You end up in the hospital together. And at the end, they take a group selfie together. And this is what I tried telling you last time, but I did not explain myself at all. And, like, I think I completely lost you. She takes a fucking selfie of everybody. In the prologue, everybody's kind of having, it's the end of the summer. You decide you're going to go back to your hometown. The reporter's like, I'm done doing my article. I'm going to go back to my place. Everybody's just kind of dispersing. It's like a Grease thing at the end where everybody's like, everybody back to their normal lives.
High five.
A high five, yeah. So you like think it's going to be like a happy end. You come back And, like, everybody meets at this cafe, the brother and the sister run. And your cousin's, like, super distant with you. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, everybody was happy. Like, we were having a fucking good time. And she's like, I just got off the phone with our uncle. Okay, fine, whatever, cool. And? He says there's a problem with that picture. What's that? Somebody's dead in this picture. There's a dead person in this picture. No. Look, everybody's still alive. Hey! So come to find out, the problem is with these demons, and I probably should have said this about the teacher, which is lapse on me. The demons, when they come back, they have no recollection initially of what happened to them. They just assume the previous life of what they had before up until their murder.
So it's like fragmented memory.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they know a lot of this stuff. Some don't regain their actual identity. They have memories of what they did.
That's gotta be fucked up. You're like, hey, wait. They did what? That guy's fucking dead, dude.
Well, and here's the fucked up part. So initially, she looks at you. And she's like, you are the one that's been lying to us. You are the one that's dead. Because in the beginning, the game asks you to name yourself. And they're like, you say your name's this, right? Yeah, it's not that. What's your actual name?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's fucking go.
So, in the middle, like, your character goes, all right, I was lying. This is my actual name.
What?
Yeah. But I'm not dead. I assure you, I'm not dead. I didn't want anybody to know what was going on. Come to find out, the reporter that you met on the train was actually your sister that had died, that you had moved away from your old town to get away from, manifest. She didn't remember until, and that's why I'm saying, and like in the game, you have to get them to like come back.
Ooh, fuck.
So he remembers, your character remembers, but he doesn't want to accept the fact. He just wants her to not go. And that's the crazy part, because in one of the playthroughs with her as the romantic interest, and I thought this was really cool how they did this. They don't have anything romantic, but at the end, when she goes to leave for the summer, he's like, I don't want you to go. Please don't leave me.
Right, because they're siblings.
Right. But they don't implicitly state that until this ending, because they don't want to ruin that.
That's beast shit. I love that.
But it's just, it's very heartbreaking at the end, because as soon as he's able to pull her, and he's like, You're her. And she's like, yeah. Yeah. But I wanted to make sure you were able to forgive yourself before I was able to go. And all of a sudden she's like, and now I see that you can do that. And then all of a sudden she fucking like turns like this gold color and just like disappears. And I'm like, that is some gangster storytelling. And, like, I'm leaving a lot out. It's, you know, this is, like, 40 hours of fucking gameplay that I'm trying to hash through a half hour. But, you know, it's a very solid game. They were going to make a sequel, which I doubt is going to happen now. This game came out...
How the fuck do you top that?
Like, 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know what? It was, like, $20 on the Switch. It was totally worth it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, World End Syndrome,
uh-huh.
What does that actually mean?
World End Syndrome is the name of the book that the teacher wrote.
Oh, okay.
It was World End Syndrome. But it was about, I forget what the name of the actual, like, demons are. But, spoiler alert. So, the nerdy chick that I said was, like, kind of bookish ends up being, like, this super fucking pop art, pop idol that's, like, in disguise just to be in this fucking book group. You come to find out she's, like, this mega fucking teen idol.
Fuck outta here.
Yeah.
You trying to get eaten, bitch?
Yeah, but it's very creative how they did it. Like I said, it's very super, like, Doki Doki, like, we're gonna make it all cutesy until the end of the summer and then fucking murder, like.
This actually sounds, to me, the way that you narrated that, this sounds, I'm more hype on that than fucking Doki Doki. And Doki Doki was badass, too.
Yeah, Doki Doki, like, for those of you who haven't played Doki Doki, Cliff Notes version is like, Doki Doki is very, it seems like it's going to be a super vanilla game. You know, it's just, you're writing poetry, it's super cutesy, and look, romance, and all of a sudden it throws, like, super deep depression at you, with, like, Sayori being like, I didn't even get out of bed this morning, and it's like, right?
Like, it takes the rogue AI approach to it, but, like, the way that, I keep forgetting the guy's name who was, like, behind it, but he...
That was Dan Salvato.
That gentleman.
Yes.
He found a way to take, like, very ugly parts of life and just stick it right in your face.
Well, and, like, the weird thing is like, he uses, like, these weird... What sets Doki Doki apart is he makes, like, these weird environments where it's, like, it's subtle. Like, all of a sudden you're listening to the music and the tempo, like, changes for a second. It's like... Like, it's this weird shit. Or, like, you're looking at Yuri, and all of a sudden her eyes are animated, and then it blinks, and her eyes are real for a minute. You know, it's like, it's super subtle mind fuckery that he uses.
The poems, dude.
Yeah.
The fucking poems.
Dude.
I was watching that shit on YouTube, and, like, I had, like, weird body chills. I'm like, okay, I need to take a minute.
Well, like, and Dan went, like, full Toby. Because, like, he did this game a lot by himself. Like, he had help, like Toby did. But, like, a lot of this was his brainchild. Like, he composed the music, he wrote the story for the game, like, all this shit. But, like, even the stuff that was even simplistic, like, Sayori, like, before she, you know, spoilers. I mean, if you don't know what happens in DDLC by this point, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. But before Sayori kills herself, the one poem she fucking writes for you is just, get out of my head, repeatedly, ad nauseum, on a fucking piece of paper. And all of a sudden you're fucking talking to Monica, and you're like, I need to go check on Sayori, bye! And, like, just how they create the scene, where it's super tense, and it's just like, I shouldn't be entering a room, this feels like a violation of her privacy. And the door goes from black to just this fucking mind rape of a scene where it's just this faded out static. It's like they took cues from Danganronpa, how they would bring in the murder scene from Danganronpa and just put it right in your face. There's Sayori, eyes open, just cold blue eyes, dead, hanging. Subtly terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, leaves an impression in your mind.
I'm thinking about it right now. Actually. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, whew.
People talking about the shit with Yuri. No. The Sayori shit, that's the fucking gangster shit. You go on fucking YouTube, you look up people fucking reacting to Sayori's death, there is a fucking half-hour compilation of people just freaking out. And not just fucking small YouTubers. People like fucking Markiplier or fucking Jacksepticeye just going, this is the most demented shit I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Because you're not, like, prepared for it.
Yeah.
It scars you.
Yeah, it's just a total baseball bat to the fucking brain. But like this, I know I talk about my weeb shit. Anybody that knows me, and like, get ready, folks, because this is going to be a segment. I like visual novels because, and everybody's entitled to their own thing. You know, people that want to play, you know, Fortnite, Call of Duty, that stuff's not for me. Visual novels are my thing because I like things that are different. I like the 428s. I like the Danganronpas of the world. I like the upcoming Spike Tokyo game. Fucking Raincode. You and I fucking looked at that Raincode game. That game looks bad as fuck. You go into like this weird like wonderland to solve murders and shit.
We mentioned this too at the end of the Danganronpa discussion, the trilogy discussion.
Yes.
The visual novels, like, the more you bring me into that world, you bring me into Weeb Corner, in terms of video games that we've played and discussed, they have, like, maybe outside of Yakuza, there's some of the strongest fucking storytelling that I've encountered
yeah.
in the last couple of years. Like, fucking no question.
It's they don't rely, and again, people want to play these games, that's fine. God bless them. Have fun. Not for me. But they don't rely on these high visuals. They don't rely on, oh, look, this fucking gun holds fucking 300 bullets as opposed to 100. Look at this fucking new skin. I could play as fucking Darth Vader. Like, I don't give a shit.
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers. But it's a situation where I'm a very heavily story-based guy. You know, that's what we talked about in the Batman episode when we talked about Batman. That was the main thing that turned me off about Batman was the story was just fucking completely out of whack.
But Death Note, like, that was another fucking...
Death Note. And that's the thing. Like, Death Note is another one. That's why I gravitated toward Death Note so fast is because it was just like the story was compelling. Like, and it was a real, like, what would you do in that situation kind of thing. Like, if you had the power to fucking just, all you had to do was write somebody's name in a notebook and they were gone. Would you do it?
Right.
It's easy to say no.
Tim pulls out a gun. No, I'm fucking asking you, motherfucker. It's like those kind of stories and that kind of storytelling is like a, it's like a fine wine.
Yes.
We were talking about that upstairs, like, the idea of, like, whiskey tasting and wine tasting and stuff. Like, the people who are like, oh, yeah, I feel the notes. Like, what were you saying upstairs? What was it?
It's oaky notes.
Oaky.
Oaky.
Then, like, we're like, that, like, getting into wine tasting and stuff, I learned about the word mouth feel.
Yeah.
And I was immediately turned off by that. I was like, dude, I don't want to hear the word mouthfeel unless I'm in a room with one person.
Like I said, all I can think of, all I can think of is like the liquid turning into like fucking Cthulhu coming out of your mouth, like with fucking tentacles.
Like oh, this mouthfeel is excellent.
Jesus, it's oaky with an excellent mouthfeel.
Can you imagine you're like at a whiskey tasting or wine tasting, and I was like, the dude just turns into like an octopus face next to you, like Jesus.
It's fucking Ridley Scott fucking shit just fucking not again. But no, I heavily encourage people to check out games like 428, Danganronpa. If you do want to hear about Danganronpa, as Eric said before, we have episodes on 1 and 2, on 3, after I put a gun to Eric's head and made him play through the trilogy.
Yeah, he intimidated the shit out of me, and I was like, fine.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he still hates me for it, but it's okay. Yeah, see, I see you looking at me.
I see you looking at me. I see you looking at me, motherfucker.
World End Syndrome, like I said, it's on Switch. I think it's for, like, for $20. If you got 40 hours to kill, fucking run through the game.
Shit.
But I look forward to weaving out with you people. If you got any suggestions for me, like I said, I'm starting Demon Slayer, Hunter x Hunter. I'm sure a lot of people will not want to kill me because I didn't call it Hunter x Hunter like a lot of newbie weeb faux pas do. Or the newbie weeb faux pas would be, I suppose.
I may have done that in the past.
But if you got any suggestions for us, please let us know. And that's all I got. What do you got for me, Eric, big boy?
I'm ready for Jesus. I'm ready for Jesus wing, baby.
Give me fucking Jesus on my face, goddamn.
Jesus wing kills.
Well, I hope you guys are ready. Like I said, we got more stuff coming up for you. We got go listen to our stuff on Spotify, Apple Music, Anchor, wherever you get podcasts from.
Dude, that Anchor commercial is fucking funny, ain't it?
I don't think I heard it.
What it's like this one guy is like pacing in his room and he's like practicing and all of a sudden like he turns on the microphone on the computer and he's got like full anime costume and he's like, "All right, let's talk about episode 4." And I'm like, "Whoa, are they making fun of us? We don't wear costumes. We just sit in a basement."
Well, you know, when I don't suck as much, I can get like an actual interface down here. Like we're gonna like build like a legit podcast lab down here, I think, at some point. So we're not just screaming at each other in my...
Listen! Play the fucking game!
In my basement. But, you know, we have musical projects coming out. We got the Godung Files. We're trying to make as much content as we possibly can for you guys. We love you. We were at how many views on or listens to the Godung Files now? What is it?
13,700.
Oh, my Lord Jesus.
13,700.
That is 14,000 more people than I thought would ever listen to us.
And we're starting to get ratings on Spotify, and a lot of people don't like us.
Which is okay.
That's okay.
Which is okay. I'm not everybody's bread and butter, but if you could please send me your name, address, so I can come visit you personally.
We're not going to dox you, but we're just going to come by the house, see what we're working with here.
And I may or may not set my fat belly on your window. Who knows?
We're going to see what kind of mouthfeel you got.
I'm going to see if you've got legs. I mean, your wine's got legs.
You may have legs. I'm going to take them away.
But in reality, you know, we like I said, we do this stuff. If you like us, cool. If you don't, thanks for giving us a listen anyway. You know, we appreciate your time. We thank you. I'm glad I interviewed for the position if I'm the candidate you were looking for.
Wow.
I'll just leave my resume on your desk.
Please hire me.